I think sometimes we get so caught up in all the trappings and all the other things that go along. And it's interesting you mentioned about the doctrine, because a lot of times it's doctrine that separates us, not faith, not belief, doctrine. And it's not doctrine of Yahweh, it's doctrines of men. And what a shame. What a shame that the people of Yahweh, you know, we read that in Revelation about the saints. We realize that who we are Yahweh's children. We are his saints. We are his people. We are to be like what we read there in Revelation, you know, worshiping him, offering praise and thanks to Yahweh. And a lot of times we're so focused on what someone else is doing or what they're not doing, and that's causing us to have problems. When we get so angry that we allow, like I said, a doctrine to split us up. And I don't mean just, oh, I don't meet with you. I'm not talking about that, but to separate from your brethren. Because if you remember the sermon that David gave some time ago about love, remember he said something very key in that message, because the in Scripture says, Yeshua said what? And they would know you were brethren by what? By your love. By the way that we are with one another. And if there is no love between one another, then how can we exemplify who Yahweh is? How can we exemplify him? Yes, Ted.
Our love for one another in Yahweh should bind us.
It should bind
us together, always. Right.
So that when people see, when they go here and they say, okay, you know, I see Curtis, and they see someone in California that acts just like him, they're like, you know, he doesn't even know Curtis, but yet they have this bond, they have this similarity, there's this connection, because they're connected through Yahweh. And that's how that person should be able to see that. And they're like, that's how they get to know Yahweh. When Yeshua sent the disciples out, and like I said, you can track historically where they went. They went everywhere. They were separated, a lot of them, many, many miles. But if one was to see Peter in one place and go somewhere and see Bartholomew in another, they would see the same thing. They would see Yeshua in them. That's what our witness and that ministry in Yahweh is about. Not separation. You know how shameful it is if you go to a community, and this happens, you go to communities overseas, Africa and other places like that, the Philippines, and there's all these congregations of Yahweh, but they don't talk to one another. Come to this congregation of Yahweh, don't talk to that congregation of Yahweh, because why? See, what we don't realize, and what I hope they will come to realize, and that we can keep in our mind, is that that's working in favor of the adversary. It's not building the body. Yeshua said, Yahweh's making him a body that is not put together with man's hands. Our focus should be on him. If we're all serving Yahweh, like Ted just said, then that's what's going to bring us together in spirit and in truth, which is what Yeshua said we should worship the Father in John 4:24. Yes, Bob.
The seven churches in the book of Revelation should show that there is some diversity between the assemblies.
Right.
That doesn't mean that we should, you know, right, shun one another or whatever. One group might have a little something to offer to another one.
But they were all his, weren't they?
They were all his, but yet human nature, being what it is, you know, kind of. Yeah. And Yahweh doesn't appreciate that.
He doesn't.
He's looking for that, you know, love of, mm-hmm, of like minds.
And a love of him. So let's continue on here in 1 Timothy 1, picking up in verse 7. So he says, desiring to be teachers of the law, though they understand neither what they say nor of what they confidently affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully, as knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous. It's not, because he's keeping the law. He's walking in righteousness and truth. But for the lawless and unruly, for the wicked and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for abusers of themselves with men, for men stealers. And it's interesting, because it's not just people like that enslaves people that we look at, but it's interesting enough, it's also on the mental level. You know, you can entrap and enslave people mentally and emotionally, economically, You can do that. I mean, look at this society. There was a time we had people in chains, but guess what? When you put people in physical chains, all they can think about is getting loose from those chains. Nobody wants to be chained up. We're human beings. So what has man, what has society done? They're like, okay, we'll take the chains off, but how many people are still free? How many people are under bondage economically and emotionally? Even spiritually, caught up in these crazy congregations. Economically, in the sense that people, what, they get so far in debt, you are a slave to the system, aren't you? You owe somebody, and if you don't pay, there's action that could be taken against you. Even people, you know, it's funny, even professional athletes, do you know that a lot of them sell their image? Think about that. So as soon as you do that, they are enslaved, aren't they? Because now their likeness, you just think about that. Their likeness is controlled by someone else that they can't complain about how it's used because they have sold it. So they have to dance to somebody else's tune. Yes, Ted.
It's when they sell their image, it's what they do as well. If they do something contrary,
right,
against the law, just some small action, now they're this person that they sold their image to is.
Then they have to be against the law. It could just be what that whoever owns your image doesn't like. It'd be something that they don't like. So manslayers are manslayers and liars. I'm in verse 10, in the middle of verse 10. For manslayers, for liars, for false swearers, people that take an oath and then break it. We have that today. And if there be any other thing contrary to sound doctrine, according to the good tidings of the glory of the blessed Elohim, which is committed to my trust. Is there anything else contrary to what is good in Yahweh? Verse 12, I thank him that enables me, Yahshua Messiah, our Savior, for that he counted me faithful, appointed me to his service. Do we feel like Saul? Do we thank Yahweh? Do we thank Yahweh and through Yahshua that he has considered us faithful, that we know what we know? That we know his name, that we know today the Sabbath, that we just the understanding that we have, no matter how little it is or how great it is, whatever Yahweh blesses us with, are we thankful for that? And I'm not trying to be oversimplifying, but here's the thing. If we're not, because when we thank him, he gives us more. He wants us to draw closer to him. Look at the distractions around us and look how people of Yahweh are drawn away and drawn into the world to thinking that they have to be more concerned what's going on around them in this world than they have to do about working on their spiritual walk. That is the key thing I can tell anybody that's considering this way. If you are not fully committed in Yahweh, the obligation is to him and him first. It's not about pleasing the other people in this room. It's not about what your neighbors think or what your family. The commitment, if we're going to be committed, is it to Yahweh? Because if you remember, Yahshua said, I only speak the words that my father gave. The thing that we can look at Yahshua's character is that his only concern was, am I doing what my father has instructed me to do? Am I doing what's pleasing to my father? And that should be the example that sticks within us. How many people are deceived and led astray because they're more concerned with what someone else thinks or what someone else said? They choose to stay in abusive relationships, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's in a religious relationship with their church, whether it's in a relationship at work with their boss or coworkers. You know how many people I hear complain because someone at work told them this? I'm like, then walk away. Quit. If it's that bad, because they can't make you, do you realize how people go for that? There's a news report where this dude at McDonald's strip searched this girl because someone on the phone called and identified themselves as the police and said, do all this stuff. And he did it. And he's like, well, they said they were a cop. I don't care. What you did was wrong. And you knew it was wrong, but you're hiding behind the shield of, well, an authority told me. Well, guess what? Yahweh's never going to tell us to commit a sin. So I don't care who says it. I don't care how long they've been in the church. I don't care how many degrees they have behind their name or what they claim to be or what they do. I don't care if they call down fire from heaven, which scripture says there will be some that do that. No matter what they do or what power they exhibit. If they tell us to do something that is contrary to the law of Yahweh, to the word of Yahweh, to his character, then you don't do it. Period. Even if it costs you your life. Because even when Yahweh told Abraham to kill his son, it said what? He was faithful and he was going to do it because he knew that Yahweh could resurrect him. We just got through reading, and it was, like I said, I had no idea Bob was going to ask that question, but it's in Revelation, and we know what John is dealing with there. And as you go read through Revelation, we know it talks about the kingdom and the resurrection. If we believe Scripture, if we believe that we will be raised children to Yahweh, raised into his family, to be those kings and priests, to be those Elohim, to live with him forever, if we believe that, are we willing to trade that off in order to preserve this existence for how long? And then to commit a sin. We don't do that. There's only one that creates life, and that's Yahweh. Now, I know everyone in here rooms like, I know that. Yeah, but do we believe it? It's easy when we're sitting here in this nice room and, you know, every life is good, but what about when life gets hard? What about when we leave this place and there are trials in our lives? There are things that confront us. Are we so righteous and strong then? This past week, did we have moments of weakness? Every week, you know, I listen to other congregations and they have prayer lists. And every time I hear a prayer list, do you know how many times I hear, let's remember this brother, sister in prayer because they're battling with depression? Or they're just having a hard time. And you know, I'm not saying, no, lift them up prayer. They're asking for prayer. But we are Yahweh's people. And we have to remember that when we hold on to him, we should have a hope and a joy within us. What is it that's causing us to be depressed and sad?